Hallelujah. Fullness of joy forever there. Delivered from the hand of the enemy, we know that we can have that eternal life if we believe in Him. How were you delivered from the hand of the enemy? Did you drink from that well of living water? Did I drink from that well of living water? I just want to it's a blessing to be here. It's quite humbling for me to see you young ladies and men dedicate your time to being here. This is a place I should have been when I was your age. And I know you probably heard that many times, and don't try to go back there and redo what I did, or I don't have to go back and look at those things other than some of the scars that were there and the chance I took of ending up in eternal destruction. There's an enemy out there. But praise God, we have a Savior. We have someone. In the Old Testament, there was sacrifice after sacrifice made for sin. Time after time, year after year. And now we have a high priest, a beloved one, that held still when those officers were sent to get him and arrest him. And he knew what he had to go through to shed his blood, to be beaten and die for my sins and yours. Have you come to that well to drink of that living water? And I trust that's why you're here. We'll come back to that. I'd like to have a short prayer, and then I have a introduction to the message and a song that we might sing together. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that your presence is here. I trust, God, that you are here, your Spirit is here. We have this living Word before us, this deep flowing well of life coming out of your Word, your very breath, God, Logos, the Word that you have spoken, is that well that we can come to, Lord. Let us come. We want to come to you tonight. I pray that you would help your servant here just be a tool in your hands as each one of the souls that are here want to be a tool in your hand. Lord, we ask that you give us a drink of what you want us to hear. I pray that your presence would be before us here to help us speak and hear your word. Lord, let us bring ourselves at the feet of Jesus and drink and hear what he has to say. We know there's an enemy, and I pray against that enemy in your name, Jesus, that any powers of darkness, there's an enemy in this world around us that wants us to be defeated, to give up. He wants to arrest our attention. And we pray, God, that you don't let that happen. May you help each one of us be alert, awake, as we spend this evening worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We come before you in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus was about to be arrested, the officers were sent to capture Jesus there on that last Passover feast. And it was a great cry going on, and Jesus stood there and he simply said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Am Am I using this? Yeah, okay. Thank you. And he said, let him come unto me and drink. How many of us would have stepped forth at that time? There was great pressure there. You were going to stand out in the crowd if you came forth and stood at Jesus' side. Even Peter had denied Jesus. He thought he was going to stand with Jesus. And I trust that each one of us has a deep desire to do that. But also there may be some of you here that don't really have the desire the way maybe that you should have. I know I was that way at one time. Maybe there's friends or people that you know that were invited to come here and they didn't come. Maybe because they couldn't come for some reason, or also maybe because there was an enemy out there keeping them from coming to this well of living water. And so I just want to encourage you all and say I appreciate the crowd of young men and women that are here to learn this week. It's very precious that we have brothers and elders and teachers and pastors and all those that are able to teach and disciple, and that you allow yourself to hear from the Word of God. And I just want to encourage you to be a channel for God. That is, my message is a channel for God. Can the Lord use you? That might be kind of a, in a way, off the top of your head or my head, it might be a kind of a silly question. Can the Lord use you? But as Jesus stood there and called out to the people that if any man thirsts, let him come and drink, there was a decision to be made by you and me. Am I going to put my foot forth and make a step to go to Bible school or to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ and be a channel? He also said there, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's powerful. And out of these scriptures, these words that Jesus gave and taught, there's a life that can be put in me and you. And I didn't bring this demonstration to the pulpit tonight. I've done this before. But if I had a world globe sitting here and a crystal glass sitting up on top of it, it may be a little teetery. We are that way in the world. We're no match for that enemy by ourselves, but with Jesus. And if I took a pitcher of water and poured into that glass and it only gets half full, not a whole lot's going to happen. I'm not saying that nothing can happen. I think we all start at some point, and God wants to cleanse us and fill us. But a half full or a half empty vessel is not flowing out. And we need to flow out. Out of our inner being, there's a life that flows because we're being filled. And if I would keep pouring out of this word into that, and that water represents the Word of God, the Spirit of Christ, eventually it's going to start running over onto that globe, which is the world. And they're going to know who you are. And that's what it's about. That's what God wants. He wants the world to know who we are in Christ. I have a song now that really inspired me many times, and maybe many of you others. And it's a very context is being a channel for God, and can the Lord use you? Are you overflowing? with this living water. It's 5:06, and I'd like to sing that together with especially just with from your heart. I'm very blessed by the music that comes forth, and it's very precious. I'm going to turn it over to Diane to lead this song. But let's put our heart into this song, and then I'll go over the song a little bit afterwards. 5:06. Power. I appreciate the sense of humility that I see in this song, in these words, and the preciousness of giving Jesus the opportunity to come within us and flow out of us. But with all thy wondrous power, it says channels only, blessed Master, and we know that Isaiah. And we say, Lord, let me be thy hands, let me be thy feet. One of the things that can easily beset us in being the Lord's hands and feet is in maybe either overzealous or lagging behind, We need to walk with the Master, not behind and not ahead of Him, but with Him, and but with all His wondrous power, not with our power. I appreciate that. Emptied that thou should fill me. Now we know that Jesus talked about the house being garnished and swept and something needs to be put back in there. And that is why I really encourage and bless all of you that put your foot forth to come here. I don't feel like you should be critical or condemning. I don't want to be over someone that's not here. But you know how easy it is for me and maybe you, every day and every hour, God can use us. Every hour, every minute. If the song would fit it, we could put minute in there. And I want to come and maybe bring a few points on that, how God can use us. I feel very convicted of this and often fall short. Just how many times do I neglect an opportunity, if nothing else, to give a word of encouragement, but I'm in a hurry. I got to go. Life is full of besetting things, and we need to adjust our priorities to be a channel for God. And you being here is a good start for that. When you're emptied, you need to put something back in. And that's why these type of messages and days spent are indeed a good thing. Thou who boughtest to possess me, in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Would encourage you to be very inviting for God to come into your life and your heart and not hold anything back. We want to talk about that a little bit too. What are some of the things that we do to hold back that life-giving water? In John 4, Jesus also said, there he talked about a living well, a well of water in 4:14. You don't have to turn there, but he was talking to the Samaritan woman that had come out to the well, and he had come into this city of Samaria. There was a precious an earmark well, Jacob's well, and they were proud of that well. And Jesus said, give me a drink. Then the woman said, she got a little sidetracked there and said, you being a Jew and I'm a Samaritan, why are you asking me for a drink? And he said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that thou sayest to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Again, Jesus takes this scenario or this well, picture of a well here, or the being of a well, and talks about the everlasting life that can come out of that. I have a picture in mind of this well. I believe the well that we can drink from, if we really come to Jesus, to God and His Word, is an artesian well. Many of you probably know what an artesian well is. If you don't, but an artesian well is, it's always flowing. When we were getting ready to build our first homestead, we wanted to have water. We all need water. We need a place. It's impossible to have a homestead without something flowing in water. It could be a lake or a creek, and we wanted to have a well on our property, and we drilled a hole where we thought might be a good place, and I had all kinds of people wanting to teach us and tell us how you find wells, which was water witching and all that kind of thing, and I didn't believe in it. And we actually let them do it, which we renounced that later. Not at that time. That was back in the day when I was still not clear on some of those things. But aside from that, we drilled 11 holes and no water. That's defeating. And I'm going to compare that. Sometimes we dig and we drill and we want to come, we want God to give us answers. We want God to, we just need what He has and we know we need it. But there's something in the way. And I don't always know, I'm not, we don't always know what that is. But if we keep coming to God, He will not leave us short of knowing. There's some things that we do that might leave us short of knowing. We'll come to that later. But back to the well. So we did not have an artesian well. We didn't have a well at all. So we went a quarter mile away up by the road. This was a quarter mile off the main road, and my father-in-law had a well where he knew it was water. He had a similar experience on his property. And I said, go up there. He gave me permission. Then he said, Richard, just dig a well 10 feet from mine. And we had 20 gallons a minute of water. And that's not an artesian well. Just recently dug a well in Turkey over at Ishmael's Well on a farm there. And we have 40 gallons a minute. That's pretty good. But an artesian well, once you pop the cap on an artesian well, once you hit the vein, it'll gush out all over your equipment, your drill. Depends on how powerful it is. It will just spew out. And that's the picture I get. Here in John, in John 4:14, it says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And that springing up, and in, let me see here, in John 7, where it says, out of his belly, out of our being flows a well of living water. This is like an artesian well. This is like a well that's being filled from somewhere and it just flows and it comes out. And the people know around you. It's like you walk downtown or you go anywhere and because of what is in you, not because of what you're trying to do, simply you're consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Out, people will know that something about you is different. And that's what we're looking for. That's what God is looking for. I mean, that's what we should be expecting. That is what God is looking for. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? Is there a gushing forth like an artesian well? In Colossians, so have you taken the first step that I want to make sure that we're understanding is that we come to the well. If there's anybody in here tonight that is hesitant and has hesitated to really come to the well of living water, do so tonight before it's too late. There is going to be a time when that water is going to be stopped flowing and Christ Himself will return. And the decision will be made and our standing with our Maker will be sealed. And so it's God does not force you to step forth and drink. It's It's like they say, you can take a horse or a mule to water, but you can't make him drink. That's our choice, and God wants it that way. Jesus wants us to drink from his artesian well, his source of gushing water. And what that does is it gives you life, and it's a channel that God can use you. And the reason I stated this question is, can the Lord use you? Is because ultimately it's your choice and my choice on what we really allow God to do with us. Now, what are some of the hindrances? What are some of the things that keep our well? God's well is flowing always. It's not his fault if we don't drink. But it could be something going on in our lives that keep us from that flowing out of our belly, our being. If I would picture flowing out of our belly, I think that's just like an allegory, or it means to me your heart, your very being. It has something coming out, as I mentioned, that you don't have to necessarily tell people it's there. Because when people see God and they see Jesus working in us, they know something's going on. It's like the wind. Jesus said the wind can blow, it comes and it goes, and you can't see it, but you can feel it and you know it's there. That's how God is. And that's how he wants you to be and me to be. After we have come forth and we drink from that well, I know life has a way of bringing us complications and things that want to hinder our walk, our flow. There's things that choke that well down in us. Sometimes it's simply that we're not consecrated, we're not dedicated. Are you dedicated to daily drinking from that water? That's one of the points that I have. Are you and I, are we dedicated to daily seek to be filled so it can flow out? Is your vessel half empty? Is mine? I'm not saying anything here that I don't want to apply to myself first. And I know these things can be overcome, and I thank the Lord God for that. He said that he will not continue in us something that he will not help us to finish. So, brothers and sisters, be consecrated. Be dedicated. Consecration is being set apart. And there's things that we need to do in our life to be set apart and stay set apart. Romans 12 says this, that we need to present our body a living sacrifice. Our whole being, a living sacrifice. The word body there. Holy and acceptable to the Lord, that he can use us. And if the seat of my desires, there's many distractions in this world. Someone, this is a little further in my notes here, but I didn't research this lately. I did hear this being repeated or said, that some technology developer in the social media line, I don't know if it was Facebook. I can't say that. That's one we all know of and a lot. There's a lot of others too. But if social media can grab your attention, the developer said this, if I can have the world's attention, I can put anything I want in front of them and eventually get them persuaded. If God can have your attention, He will have you persuaded. Amen. The devil knows exactly what God can do, and he has a counterfeit. And technology is high on the list of one of those that can do that. I'm not saying it's the only thing, by no means. There's many things in the days and the years and the ancient centuries gone by, that enemy always has something that wants to get our attention and remove that set apart, that consecration, that dedication, that we need to be very diligent. This is where I think the verse comes in, where God says that we need to seek out our salvation with fear and trembling. There's a serious side. There's a side of joy. There's a lot of joy in being filled and a channel for God. A lot of joy in that. But there's a serious side to that. Be set apart. I talked a little bit about the seat of our desires and where it is. It made me think of Joseph. I had to think of the life of Joseph. I'm going to turn there just a little bit and reflect. I think it's very good. God put these stories of Himself and His people in the Bible, in the Old Testament, for our benefit, and to give us an example of those that have had victory and those that have been defeated. We can look back, and that's what history is good for, is to see what can happen, and we take heed of that. Joseph was brought down out of his father's land there into Egypt as a slave and sold to Pharaoh, the captain of the guard of Egypt there. And I just want to make note here of take a little bit of a note that Joseph, it says in, this is in Genesis 39, if anyone wants to turn there, and Joseph found grace. Well, his master saw that the Lord, I'm starting in verse 3, that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. He was blessing the Egyptian, he was blessing Potiphar's house. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And this made that he left all in Joseph's hand to take care of. He saw the integrity. He saw that the Lord was with him. And I don't want to get too far off the track here, but think about this. How did Potiphar know that the Lord was with him? In being a channel for God, there's many, many, if we are actually allowing ourselves to flow out, meaning there's no hindrances there, that's what I want to come to. An artesian well can be capped. A flowing pipe, anything gushing, except maybe a waterfall, I doubt if you could cap Niagara Falls, right? It did get stopped one time. I just now thought of that, if I remember. I didn't do any research lately, but if I remember right, one time the lake froze completely over and Niagara Falls came to a stop. 1 year. And so most sources, I'm just using that as an illustration that we can, unless we are diligent in our faith, in our dedication to being filled, it can stop. And back to my thought here, how did Potiphar know that Joseph had a Lord that was over him, that had much more, there was something there. I don't know. I don't picture Potiphar as someone that knew God. Maybe he did. I don't know that for sure. But he was an Egyptian of the world. And yet he recognized Joseph's Lord. And that's what I want to point out. When we have God, when we have Jesus working in our life, and we have not put anything in there, we take away all the things. We walk in the light. We have no hidden things. Keeping that flow, because God will not flow past what you and I are hiding. He will not flow past what we're not set apart and dedicated. If our heart is not bent toward Him and it's on something else, one of my points is going to be on that. But just simply know that you can be a channel for the Lord. It's so many times, Joseph, this story sounds, in a way, very noble and very great. It would be somewhat, it would have been, I just admit, it would have been my delight, my pride that would have loved to have the honor of being over all this stuff for Potiphar. And yet, with that type of a spirit, I don't think that would have happened. Joseph didn't have that kind of a spirit. He was doing that humbly. And the people around him could see that he was a man of God. And then he was challenged. Anytime that we are being a channel for the kingdom, for God, we will be challenged. You know that, I know that, and sometimes we don't expect it. As Joseph was challenged by the master's wife to come lie with him, I really believe when Satan sees someone flowing for the kingdom, he wants to stop that. And he will send very serious stuff. But brothers and sisters, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ. And you go to the Word, and you follow that Word. If you look for answers before you make a move, you will say like Joseph did, how could I do such a great sin before my father? He said, he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Why? Because he was consecrated. He was dedicated. His purpose. He had purposed in his heart to be in the kingdom of God and to stay with God. Let's take a quick look at some things that we need to be aware of. Some hindrings. What slows us down or caps that flow? What are some of the channel blockers? In Hebrews 12:28, I have this verse that I believe we need to take note of. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom, if you have stepped forth and you've taken part of this drink and you're in this kingdom, you're receiving a kingdom, brothers and sisters, that cannot be moved. Like I just said, if you have Jesus Christ as your advocate and you're following the Word with a pure heart, God is not going to forsake you or leave you. What happens when we are blocked? Most of the time, I just narrowed it down. There's many, many things you can think of tonight. If any of you are thinking of something that God is bringing to your mind, you just make a note of that, because there is repentance. There is a way to remove that. And the two things that are in the way that it narrows down to is self and just simply the sin of the world, the lust of the eye and the pride of life, and self. Self has so many things, primarily pride, like I had mentioned. Looking for honor and a good reputation is what Joseph could have done. And many times we don't realize what we're doing, but we're seeking the acceptance of man. Seek first the acceptance of God, and the rest will fall in place. If we humbly walk with God, the security of being accepted in the Beloved will surpass anything that you can ever get from man. One of the things that I have marked here that seemed to me a real stumbling block to younger Christians, and I'm not saying just youth or younger Christians, but it does, I encourage you to know that as we grow in Christ, it does get better. Yes, there's challenges. They're just different, some of them, but they're not. It does. I really believe that God helps us mature. He helps us grow, but we need to be broken. We need to be allowed. That is why Jesus said, if you fall on that rock, if you fall on Christ, if you fall on His Word and allow yourself to be broken, it will not crush you. If you resist that and refusing to accept the things in life that are handed to you. Now, I believe in changing what we can. We do what we can, not without God first, but with God first, there are things that you and I can do to change some things in life. There are many things that you and I cannot do to change some things in life. Other people have choices too, and sin is rampant in the world around us. There's also things, I'm just going to mention some very hard things. It is good, and God wants it. He wants us as male and female. He wants marriage, but maybe not for everyone. And that is often a stumbling block to, that's a channel blocker. I'm just giving you a real life scenario that can block us from being that overflowing channel, because our focus is so much on ourselves that we forget to let God be in control. And that's not a broken state of being in. Another one I have is covetousness. And I use the word covetousness. We don't use that word that often amongst ourselves, but it's desiring something, whether it's a hobby, whether it's, I'm just hunting, I don't know, for the ladies, having all kinds of nice things. I don't know if I need to mention this, and I hope it's not, but just going on that website and looking at all the glorious stuff that you can shop on and make nice things with can really become an idol. It can get your attention and get you carried away from the kingdom. And young men, there's lots of hobbies, lots of things out there that really turn into simple idolatry. Basically, turning your heart away from God blocks the channel of Him flowing through us. And that's for us adults. I'm not just wanting to speak to youth, but I really want to bless you and ask you to stay put in the kingdom and press forward in allowing that living water to flow through you. There's other things that are besides the fads of this world and idolatry and covetousness, there's many things. There's anger that blocks. Anger is a big one. For many fathers, like myself, I went through that and struggled for years with anger. And it's still something I have to work at overcoming. And it hurts many a relationship. It blocks many, many things, mostly relationships. That is same as that strife. It's hatred. It's loving less. Self works. Works for righteousness are to be seen of men. I'd covered that. We get into things that are earmarked as sin. Just simply the wickedness of the world. Rebellion. I actually know of one rock singing group that said, the lead singer said, for me, it's all about rebellion. Whatever lyrics that I can come up with and music I can come up with to show the world that I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do. That is the heart of satanic music. And I'm just giving that as one illustration. There's many other things, many other forms of music that are offshoots of that, that can block us, that are rebellion, unlawful, and worldly. False teaching. People twisting the scriptures and wanting to more lift themselves up than Christ can be things that block the channel. In 2 Peter it says, in 3:17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware, lest ye be led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. I'm just putting that in there. There's many people out there. There's a gospel out there that'll tell you that, ah, you're all right. As long as you have Christ, it's all right. That's not true. Yes, it is true that you need Christ and you need to maintain Him as your Lord and Savior, and not lose our first love. If we actually lose our first love, that'll block us too. That'll keep that water from flowing, meaning that we don't really appreciate the grace and the salvation, simply knowing that He gave us a living hope. Do you appreciate that? Every day, we need to not forget that and not lose our first love. Or it will block us as well. But we can fall from that steadfastness. We can fall from that first love because of distractions, because of our own issues that we're either not walking in the light with, we're hiding, we want something for self. Let Jesus fill your heart with His Word. Let's look at some things here. There's others that I have, but I'm going to... There's one I had here that I have a burden for, and that is gossip and whispering, belittling others, putting them down. That is one of Satan's chief tools. I don't know how to say this exactly right, so you can challenge my way of saying this, but I've made this comment and I've heard this comment and somewhat have adopted it. But one of the prices that we pay for close community, which is right, koinonia, being together in closeness, one to another, is simply crossing that boundary where we start getting to be busybodies into each other's space. And then we have this competitive air going on, and it causes gossip. It causes... Satan uses that. Don't let a chief principle of God's church out into Satan's hands. Let's not do that. That will block us as well. And if that is a problem with that we have, I'm trying to think of a verse that I had in my mind earlier this evening. Here we go. In 2 Peter 3:9. There's a word here for us. And it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering and willing that any that is willing that all or is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now let's think about that verse a little bit. And in that encouragement, God is not willing to just let us easily slide out of his hand. He will never leave us nor forsake us unless we walk away from him. And I use that verse saying that we can fall from our own steadfastness. Peter says that as well. But he also says earlier in the chapter, in that same chapter, in 2 Peter 3, this is in verse 9, he talks about that the Lord is going to be there. He's not easily. If we take the word draw, where God draws us to repentance, that same word draw is the same word that the disciples, when Peter said, when Jesus was crucified and they didn't know what to do, and finally they said, "Well, let's go fishing." And they went out to fish and they didn't catch anything. And then Jesus came upon the scene. He told them to cast their nets on the other side. And they drew in a heavy load of fish. That same dragging, that same word, is the same word as draw, is used in Romans, that God draws us to repentance. That heavy pull is the Spirit of God pulling on us. And if we break that pull, it is woe unto us. That is serious. So don't break that drawing. God is not slack. He is going to be long-suffering. But today is the day of salvation. Don't harden your heart. Today is the day to allow those things. If we have anything hidden that's not in the light, that is one of the chief, I didn't mention that, but one of the chief things that I believe blocks the channel in our hearts and within our churches is when we have hidden things and we have a show on the outside of God and God knows. Do we think that God cannot see? Is it more important that man sees or that God sees? And God can see those things that are not brought to light, and that will block that flowing of living water out of us. It's like a vessel that's half filled. Are you a vessel full and overflowing? Am I a vessel full and overflowing? In 2 Peter 3, 9, there, where I'm talking about that God is long-suffering and he's not willing that any of us should perish, he gives an answer, but he says, "But that all come to repentance." The answer is repentance. The answer is turning around. If I see something in my life, if God reveals something through his word, through the preaching, his Spirit is drawing you and me. Let's repent. Simply meaning, let's bring it to light. Let's have godly sorrow for it and turn it around. Not cheap sorrow. Let's not just repent because we got caught, but let's be repentant because we're convicted that we are not fulfilling the purpose of God. God's purpose is to make us a vessel unto honor that's overflowing. Brothers and sisters, let's be encouraged to do that. In Hebrews 12:28, as I close here, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved except, these are my words, except by those things that we allow in our life to block that channel of living water. The kingdom itself, the kingdom of God, you and I are not going to change. We're not going to move that. And the devil's not going to defeat it. The victory has been won. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ, that shed his blood and gave his life. and has risen from the dead. And that same power that defeated the devil there and didn't hold him in the grave can be the power if we have Christ, as it says in Colossians, the preeminence of Christ within us. And I encourage you to do that. Let Jesus fill you now and fill your heart and your soul with his surrender, or with his word, his living water, so that you and I can be a part of that kingdom that cannot be moved. Just want to read the last, let's read stanza 4 here in How I Praise Thee. It says, Jesus, fill now with thy spirit hearts that full surrender know. And let's ask ourselves, does my heart know a full surrender? This is key. That the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master. Yes. Let's be a channel for the blessed Master, not from our own strength, but with all his wondrous power. Let God do the work. Make yourself consecrated, a vessel, willing to be broken, and he will do the wondrous power flowing through us. If I have the love of God in my heart, if you have the love of God in your heart, it'll be like water. It'll be like Niagara Falls. Yes, I said that in the natural, that was stopped one time. But it's hard to stop a waterfalls, a flowing stream coming out of the mountain of the living word. And it flows through us. Remember, the source is not you and not me. It's going through us, and that God can use us every hour and every day. It says every day and every hour, but let's just start. Please, let's just start with this hour and let God take us to the next one and the next one. And then we have days and weeks and months and years. And more people can come into the kingdom because they see God working in our life. Amen. I'll turn it back over to the brothers here. Thank you. May God bless you.